Turn with me, please, to 1 Kings chapter 18. We're going to be looking at a verse in there. Boy, my voice got louder. Hey. Hear an echo. You know, we pray for our physical health, probably more than we do for our spiritual health. You notice that? And we probably all would agree that our Lord God deserves and demands our dedication. But if we were to be honest, we would know that we fall short of what God has for us very often. And that's because we live in a world that is dedicated to changing our minds about things. The Bible talks about being pressed into a mold. 24/7, the world is attempting to distract and to entice us away from our God. Now, everyone here who knows the Lord as their Savior also recognizes we're just sinners saved by grace. We continue to fall short of what God has for us. And that's the definition of sin, falling short. And we do it day after day. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 6, need not turn, just listen carefully. We read, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in your heart." Now, do these words that we've heard just now from Deuteronomy, does that reflect our lives, both private and public? Now, I don't want to step on anyone's toes because my feet are bigger and I'm talking to myself as well. The Lord wants us to give our all to Him, and we ought to. But most of the time, we're like Reuben. We're unstable as water. We're tossed about by every wind of doctrine. Now, I know we want to do good. We do want to be. But it's difficult for us to give up the world. It's difficult for us to give up that thing that's part of us almost. Scripture talks about it as being a sin that's so easily. Your sin might not be like mine, but I think we all share in that dilemma. My goal tonight is to challenge our mind to consider our condition and to exhort us to address our commitment. Our commitment should be that we love the Lord God with all of our might. But we know that's not always true. There are times, there are the high points in which we're walking with God as though we were profitable. And there are other times where things just seem to get in the way. In 1 Kings chapter 18, read one verse, verse number 21. 1 Kings 18, verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long you halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal be God, then follow him. And the people answered, not a word. I want you to concentrate on that end of that. The people answered not a word. They didn't say anything at all. Well, what would cause Elijah to say that? What was going on in the time of Elijah? Because we have short time, I'm going to just shorten this. Ahab was the king of Israel at the time. And his father, Omri, was an evil man. He had been the worst king up until his time. But he died and was buried in Samaria with his father. And his son reigned in his stead. Who was his son? Ahab. He reigned for 22 years. The scripture in 1 Kings 16 tells us that Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were there before him. And it came to pass, as though it had been a light thing, that he followed in the steps of Rehoboam. He took to wife Jezebel. He went and he served Baal. Not only did he serve Baal, but he reared an altar in Samaria for Baal. The Bible tells us that he made a grove for Baal. And although his father was evil man, Scripture tells us that Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all of the kings before. Times were bad with Ahab on the throne. I'm sure if you have any touching of this story, you know that Jezebel had started to kill the prophets of God. Had gotten to a point where Elijah himself said that there's nobody left but me. He did not know that God had protected 7,000. It was time for a prophet. It was time for the people to hear the word of God. The king was evil. The priests were not doing their job. The prophets, many of them had been killed or in hiding. We look at our situation today in America and we say it's terrible. But that was worse. They needed to hear from God. So almost miraculously, Elijah appears on the scene. And he confronts Ahab and he tells him that by my word there will be no rain. And then the Lord told him to go hide because it was about to get difficult. First he went to the brook. And our God said that you go to the brook because I have commanded the raven. Look at the provision God provided for this man. He was open and honest as far as what the Lord had told him. But he had to get out of town. After the brook dried up, we know that he went to Zarephath because the Lord God had commanded a widow to supply for him. Choices. When we read verse 21, we find that There was a choice to be made. But the people couldn't make it. The people had been so beaten down that they answered not a word. Are we in a situation ourselves where the world has infiltrated our assemblies and our churches? Brother Dave mentioned that. There are congregations that do not hear the word of God. Are we beaten down so much that we cannot utter a word when we hear a word from God to choose? We know there was another man who brought forth a choice. Joshua. He said, choose you this day who you will serve. That's a clarion call for us all. In our individual lives, in our private words, our private moments, as we come together as a congregation, we need to have cleaned up our lives, had dedicated ourselves to our God, so that we can come together and not be tainted with the world. We're a small group right here. Sometimes I criticize. Sometimes I think I have the spirit of a prophet because I would come down on you, fire from heaven on you. But then I would burn myself up too. So, I mean, that's not. But that's what we need to do. We need to be honest with God about who we are and how we're living. You remember Achan? How many people remember Achan? Well, those that don't remember, Achan was told specifically, do not take these goods. Ai was a little town. They had already wiped out Jericho. And they looked at Ai, oh, that's a little thing. We can do this. But there was sin in the camp. And maybe the reason why we have problems, we don't have more people, that we're not more dedicated, that we're not seeing more answers to prayer, that we're not more spiritual, that maybe we've got things hidden in our tent. Don't want to step on your toes without stepping on my own. But maybe so. So the choice has to be made. And tonight is a good time to make it. How long? How long will you wobble between two opinions? If God, our Lord God is God, we know what He expects from us. He expects us to love Him with all of our heart. You see, the truth of the matter is that we cannot wobble. We cannot sit on the fence. You'll never be happy sitting on the fence. Because the truth be told, if you're sitting on the fence, you belong to the devil already. You do. God wants your commitment. He doesn't want you to be wandering around between two opinions. So tonight, here's my challenge to you and my exhortation to you as well as for myself. Choose you tonight. Going forward, whom you will serve. Will you serve the Lord? Or will you serve some other thing in your life? Shall we? Our gracious and loving Father, we thank You that we can call You our Father. And we're touched, Father, in the fact that we know from Your word that our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. And we have no cause to come to You and to ask even for forgiveness, except that You loved us and You gave Your Son for us. May tonight be the night, Father, where we come to our senses and realize that we can no longer sit on the fence. We cannot wobble around. We have to make a choice. May we, like Joshua, say, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." May it be so for all of us, Father, for your name's sake, in the glory of the Lord Jesus, in whose name we give thee thanks.